Hello, listeners. This is your host, Vandalized, and for today's episode, I'll be talking to some Superstar Streamers members about first-person shooters. Superstar Streamers is a fun, supportive community for streamers that's all about positivity, diversity, and community. And joining me today are Mr. Normie and Hey Cinebe. It's great to have you both. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing good too. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. I've had coffee, I'm feeling good, and I'm Excellent. Hanging out with both of you, so what's not to like?
No. Friends.
High five, slow motion, freeze frame. Yeah.
Sorry.
I really want to do that now.
You want to do slow-mo high fives?
Yeah.
We'll see. Oh, yeah. We're totally going to record slow-mo high fives at PAX.
Yes.
Sounds good.
I agree with this.
We're going to do an S3 slow-mo high five.
Yeah.
It will be amazing. Anyway, that's a little off topic.
Derailed.
Immediately derailed. So yeah, I was going to talk to you both about first-person shooters today. So to start off with, tell me a little bit about what it is about first-person shooters that you both really love. Either of you can go first.
You can go first, Normie.
Shall
I go? Would you like to think while I talk? So pretty much the games I normally play, I don't have a lot, but I play Killing Floor 2. And Rainbow Six Siege. They're like pretty much the only ones I've delved into properly. I have played a couple other ones like Call of Duty, but it's just not the same. Or Quake Champions was first person as well, and that really did not tickle my fancy. So yeah.
And what about you, Normie?
What was the question again?
What is it about first person shooters that you really love?
No, it's a hard question to answer because there's like lots of different elements that comes from gaming in general. Like if you're playing it properly, like good teamwork is just so satisfying. Using Siege as an example, like making a call out or receiving a call out from a teammate and being able to like execute a proper kill and like just that feeling of like, yeah, we're doing stuff together as a team, like it's good.
Yeah.
So you'd say that you have a preference for those multiplayer team co-op type first person shooters?
I definitely tend to go towards the multiplayer ones. Mm-hmm. Like I still play single player every now and then, but yeah, I like having
it's
not that
the same.
Yeah, it's good to have that person to like or people to bounce off of.
Yep. No, I totally get that.
It's similar with Killing Floor 2 as well. Like, even though primarily it's a zombie shooter, is that, you know, when you're playing by yourself, you're like, oh, there's waves of zombies. How exciting. But it's like as soon as you've got a team in there and you can communicate with them and see what's going on, it gets a lot more enjoyable when you've got someone watching your back as well.
Even in, like, yeah, conversation-wise or, like, knowing you have someone there to help.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I enjoy about them.
I think like the enjoyment factor like relies heavily on what game it is, because I know that you play Overwatch as well, Normie.
Yes.
And that's very hit and miss from what I've seen. I've got it. I've never played it. But yeah, I think that's one of those team related ones where it's like it's better to have a team that you communicate with rather than playing with people that you don't know.
Well, yeah, definitely it is. And it's definitely like you said, depending on the game.
Mm.
Like some are more heavily team focused than others. Which can be good or bad, like depending on the scenario.
I mean
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Sorry, continue.
I would say Call of Duty, for example, is one that's like you can play it by yourself, but it can also work with a team. Whereas Overwatch is one that it's so team focused that you kind of can't do everything yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the other things that is really good about some certain games that draws me to them if there's objectives. Like I did mention before that like Quake Champions didn't really tickle my fancy, and that was just simply because it was running around just killing each other. There was no real proper objective apart from kill each other. Whereas stuff like Siege or, you know, something that has some sort of directive or some sort of objective is much more appealing.
Definitely. Directive and map design.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes, map design. That's a thing. Yes.
Okay. Those are some of the things.
Okay. So you both talked about those multiplayer co-op games like Call of Duty, Rainbow Six Siege, Killing Floor. Have either of you delved very much into more narrative-driven first-person shooters? For example, things like Doom or Borderlands or any of those?
I have not, no.
I've been recently playing through Borderlands with my girlfriend, Rachel, and that's been fun. And yeah, it's definitely good to have a narrative because, as Suna said, like it gives you objectives and things to focus towards.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, if you didn't have that in that game, I don't think it'd be quite as enjoyable as it is.
I would definitely agree there. As somebody that really enjoys the Borderlands games, I would say that if Borderlands were just another battle royale type game, rather than the narrative-driven story that it is, I don't think it would have the same kind of following, and it certainly wouldn't interest me as well, because I'm someone that's more into narrative-driven rather than battle royale games.
Yeah, and it's definitely... I don't know, obviously it's also designed in that way to be narrative-driven.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. You both talked about how much you like the multiplayer co-op style of first-person shooters. Is there a particular game that you can think of that really did it for you to make you decide you love that kind of game?
The multiplayer aspect probably would have to be Call of Duty. Playing that on the PS3, I think it was Call of Duty 4... So, yeah, Modern Warfare 1 was the one that sort of really drew me into the, at least online multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
And multiplayer / single player was definitely GoldenEye 007 on the Nintendo 64.
Ugh, yes.
That was such a great game.
So
good. Oh, yeah.
I think for me, like, it didn't really start as, like, a first-person shooter thing, like, as Normie mentioned, GoldenEye 007, there was Turok 2, which was also really good, and Perfect Dark. I loved all three of those games on Nintendo 64, but it wasn't like the whole, oh my God, I love this genre forever and ever and ever. It was kind of like, just, you know, I only really just thought about, oh yeah, they are first-person shooters. That's right. For me, I think what really kicked it off, like with the multiplayer aspect of things, we just had this discussion off stream, but where I started playing PUBG originally, and I liked the teamwork in that, you know, the call outs going, oh, you know, we've got someone in this direction. That's sort of what drew me into the multiplayer aspect of it, but I didn't realize how good it was until I started playing Siege, which I don't even remember how that happened. I think there was just a group of us that were playing. I got the basic version. I'm like, oh, yeah, this is okay. But it was really good to play with, like, an actual team and, you know, get those objectives sorted and, you know, have those discussions about the game and strats and stuff like that. It was just totally different working with a team in a first-person shooter multiplayer environment. Very, very different and awesome.
That's... Especially with a group of people that you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's all well and good to play with randoms and have a good team that way, but if you're playing with people you know and are friends with, or at least, like, friends of friends, like, you have a common interest in it, it definitely amps up just how good it can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you know their play style as well. You know, you've got We have that one certain friend that doesn't play with us too much, and he's a runner and gunner and doesn't really do teamwork and communication. And then we've also got someone who just plays tactical dirty, like very competitive. But then we've got everybody else that, you know, wants to communicate and wants to play. And, you know, we know their play styles, and that's okay.
And, like, playing with a group of people, it's not always about playing a game. It's having fun with friends as well.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So, moving on to our next question. When it comes to first-person shooters, or just, shooter games in general, I guess, is there anything that you feel is missing from them that you'd love to see in an upcoming game?
Ooh. That's a tricky one because there's so many.
I guess just think, like, when you've been playing any kind of shooter game, is there something that you really feel would enhance the game, make it more challenging, make it more appealing, or just generally make it more fun that you'd love to see added to a future iteration of a game or a game that you know is coming up at some point soon?
For the shooters I play, I don't think so, no.
I think what would be good, depending on the game and how serious you're taking it, but for something like Siege, if there was chat interaction, while you're streaming the game, like having some form of interaction, like they can. It probably wouldn't work so much for like player versus player, but if you're doing like a PvE kind of campaign, sort of like a, I suppose this is a first person shooter as well, Left 4 Dead.
Yes.
Having something like that, or like Killing Floor, have a Twitch interaction where it's like, oh, you know, if someone, say someone donates some bits or something, it spawns an enemy, or Twitch can vote on, like the chat can vote on what main boss is going to spawn, or like, or, if know, the, a horde is going to appear, or
not healing.
Yeah.
I've just thought of a great mode, I guess you'd call it, for those games where it was Twitch integration and chat would get to vote on, for example, the 4 or 5 weapons that will be available to you in the game.
Ooh, yeah, that would be cool.
I think that could be really fun.
A knife and a pistol.
Yep.
That is all.
Yeah.
And there's been some other great games where that's been integrated. Vermintide 2.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That had some great Twitch integration where I believe chat could... They could spawn things for you. They could help heal you, or they could damage you.
That would be cool.
Yeah, so just things like that would be... It's coming into the streaming side of it. It would definitely increase that immersion... Not just for the streamer, but for the chat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot more chat activity, I think, would happen as well if that was available. I think it was not a first-person shooter. I think it was Hand of Fate 2, which was like an interactive card game. That one had Twitch integration, and watching the chat interact with that was amazing, because you could basically picking whether you wanted to heal them or not, or actually, you know, reduce the amount of health they had.
Just quickly there, can you hear Scruffy in the background there?
I can hear. Yeah.
God damn you, cat. Anyway, let's backpedal. Could you go in a little bit more detail again on Hand of Fate and what you were enjoying about that? It's not first-person shooter related, but we were talking about integration, so continue.
Yes. I was watching, I believe this is a very long time ago, but I think it was Raw Genesis playing Hand of Fate 2, and it had Twitch integration. Basically, you could pick whether he got healed, or if he didn't heal, or what if he got mana upgrades and stuff like that. Like, they got to pick and choose what card he got to turn over. You know, that sort of stuff, I believe, in some first-person shooter games, as you mentioned, like a mode or a type that you could play, I think that would be really, really fun. And I think it would be interesting to see how that could be implemented, because generally, like, I know that when playing certain FPS games is that the chat's generally pretty quiet because you're focusing, so they don't talk. And so having that different mode to be able to go, hey guys, you know, come stuff me up while I play this game, you know, I think that would be really cool. I think that could work.
Yeah, and then in terms of other things that games, getting back on topic,
mm-hmm.
whether we were off topic, but yeah, I think other things that games could want, I can't really think of anything else off the top of my head, because if you're looking for something particular,
mm-hmm.
there's generally going to be a game out there that fills that niche.
Yeah, what you're already has for. What you want. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. But it sounds like both of you would love to see a game that could make streaming it more fun, which brings me into the next thing I wanted to bring up. What are your tips for streaming shooter games? How do you manage to play a good game and still engage your viewers? Or is playing a good game and engaging your viewers just one of those things that is not achievable? Is it one or the other?
Ooh. Sometimes it feels that way.
Yeah, it's. I think it's definitely hit or miss. Like, I know when I'm playing Killing Floor 2, I generally have a few viewers and they interact. I know the other times when I've played Siege, it's just, there's nothing.
Nothing.
I also tend to find it depends on who you're playing with as well. Because if we're having an absolute rip snorter of a time and having fun, that's when we start to get activity in the chats. But it's very difficult because I believe with a lot of first-person shooters, especially on Twitch as well, is it's just very saturated. Like most games. But it can be quite difficult to get that viewership.
Definitely. When there's so many hands in the pie, it's mm-hmm. it's hard to get some for yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely. Yeah. The pie plate is empty. Okay.
Yeah.
Which it definitely feels that way sometimes. Like, I've had some streams where I've done, like, it's gone off. And, like, it's been a great stream, and then there's been others where it's been barely anything happening, and it makes me wonder why I'm bothering. So, yeah.
It's definitely a challenge.
There's lots of variables to consider. Like, it's the game you play, the time of day you're playing it, how saturated it is at that time, who you're playing with,
mm-hmm.
What you have going on within your stream for, like, interactivity and getting people engaged. Is like, there's so much.
It's like you're saying earlier, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like you were saying earlier, like, if you're focused, you're less likely to be talking to your chat.
Yeah.
So trying to keep them engaged that way is
not that easy. It's a very hit and miss type thing. Sometimes you'll be focused, but, you know, you'll be just not focused enough to actually still talk. But yeah, it's one of those tricky ones. It's kind of like most of the time you're just waiting for that one trick shot or that one amazing, you know, bit that you can clip and then upload, and then you start to garner more attention after that. It's very hit and miss, very, very much so, especially with that style of game. Most are very popular and just difficult to get, you know, your finger in that pie.
Because, yeah, especially looking at some of the more top ones, it's either competitive players playing with each other. So that's like a level above, personally, what I can achieve.
Mm.
And then you just, yeah, like group, like you're saying, groups will definitely get more attention.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if there's, you know, like multi-Twitch links and stuff going out.
Yeah.
So when there's like, you can watch five people at once. So, like, it's going to boost all of their numbers.
Yeah. Just more fun to play with a group of people that you know.
No,
I think, I mean, it's like when we've played together with our group, Normie, and basically we have legitimate fun, you know, and that I always found that's when we got our viewership, is when, you know, we weren't taking it too seriously, but we're taking it seriously enough to win. That sort of thing. But yeah, it's just, it is very, very tricky to get that viewership and keep them engaged.
So I guess that kind of ties back into what we were talking about with Twitch integration and how it's difficult to find ways to engage your viewers when you're playing a first-person shooter, unless you've already established yourself as somebody that's...
like decent, or...
like created a name for yourself in a particular game or a particular genre. Would you say that that makes first-person shooters a really difficult game to stream unless you've managed to already create that establishment?
I would say yes. I'll definitely say, like, if you haven't really made a name for yourself playing FPS or just a specific FPS game, I would definitely say it would be very hard to stream it and to get viewership unless it's, you know, people from the community that you're in. But yeah, overall, to get new viewership would be very tricky.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was like, streaming it, no, that's fine. Trying to gain momentum from streaming just that, yes.
Yeah.
Because like you said, like, we can't all be the ninjas of our game. Like, unless you're really, really good, which I admit I am not, which is fine. But unless you're like that top percentage of player, it makes it hard for people to want to stick around, which is going back to what we were just saying, where if you're having fun, that's more likely to get people in for that than higher level of gameplay. And especially like with us being variety streamers as well, you can't always gain momentum, because some people might follow your channel for a specific game or genre game. So they're not going to watch you if you're not playing that game or genre of game. So it makes it hard that way as well.
So we've talked a little bit about how difficult it is to, I guess, stand out on Twitch playing first-person shooters unless you are already established and you play it competitively. That being said, what are some great moments that you've had streaming first-person shooters that you'd like to share? Just some great memories, something that somebody's clipped, something that had everybody in absolute stitches.
There's a couple for me. I think the one that stands out for me the most was we're playing Siege and we were on the, what is it? The map with the swimming pool in it, Normie? Is that?
I can't
remember. It was like where the sun, I think it was in the sunset bar, and I put my drone camera in there and basically caught the other team like doing weird things on a pool table. It was very odd. No, doggo.
Yeah, sorry.
But yeah, no, but yes, it was a very, very unusual sight to see through a drone camera. I was very confused and I just absolutely lost it. It was great.
Just come around the corner and they were just like crouch spamming on top of the pool table, just doing the worm essentially.
Yeah, that was great. That was brilliant. I'll forever enjoy it. I love that quip. It always makes me laugh.
So one of mine from Siege is fusing the hostage for the first time.
I'm sorry, what?
So, so there's a character in Siege called Fuse, and his gadget, you put it against like a soft wall and it shoots out like little grenades into, well, basically hockey pucks, explosive hockey pucks.
We call them hockey pucks.
Into the adjacent room.
Okay.
And one of the game modes is you're supposed to, as the attacking team, go in and rescue a hostage, and you fail the round if you kill the hostage. That like completely slipped my mind. So I put the fuse gadget above the hostage, like in the room above him, and fired down into the room the hostage was in, like killing him and losing the round. And just like my look of confusion and then realization of what I'd done is just like, ah, oh yeah.
That's when Raptor Shadow was playing with us.
Yeah, that was very fun. very early Siege days, those ones.
Yep. Oh,
there's some good moments from the game, especially earlier on.
There was that one that Nick got of me throwing that grenade, and they turned it into a Conan the Barbarian segue.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I said the other one of my favorites, which happened against Cinnabay, was the Flash Hammer.
Oh my god!
Okay, you're gonna have to regale me with this one.
So what had happened is that DJ or Dank Magician and Nick Bate had been planning for a while this strat. So there's two characters. One is called Sledge, and he basically has a sledgehammer, and he can break through walls, soft walls. And then Blitz, who's another character, he has a small shield which has like a lens flare attached to it. So basically you do the flash and it blinds the opponent and you attack them. And so they'd been planning on doing this strat for a while where basically you blind the opponent and then Sledge comes in and then kills the opponent. And we were doing custom games one night. So basically 10 people in the community that we knew, and I had that strat executed on me while I was streaming. I was not happy, to say the least.
Because I think you were the first. Yeah, it worked again.
I was the first. Yep, I was the first, and it wasn't even Nick that did it. It was DJ and Panda.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, Nick, they left you out. And he's like, what? What happened? And I'm like, he did the flash hammer. But yeah, that was good. And another one I just saw going through my clips was when we're doing custom games again. And I spooked Mystic Scythe coming up through the window. He screams and runs off. There's been some really, really good moments. And it's always been when we've been having fun.
Yes, I think a bunch of them are, like, shameless self-promotion, are in the community clips for Superstar Streamers.
Yes.
Indeed.
They are, actually.
And going back, there's also a lot of clips of Cinnabay getting spooked. The screams that come out of her mouth.
Yes. Yes, every now and then I get a little bit too spooked and I let out a very girly squeal. It happens.
Cinnabay being spooked is kind of what we all live for, isn't it? Certainly what all of my... Yeah. Me being spooked is definitely what all of my viewers live for. With first-person shooters, was there anything else that you were hoping that we could cover? Any hot takes that you have on existing games? Or are there any upcoming games that you're really looking forward to? And why are you looking forward to them if you are?
That's a good question.
Suddenly the Google is brought up.
Yep. Oh, yes. So a game I'm definitely looking forward to when it comes to Steam is Borderlands 3.
Absolutely, yes.
Just personally, I'm not going Epic Store because I don't agree with how they're doing some things, but... Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wait for that to come to Steam. That's going to be great. Just because, as we were talking about earlier, like, just the Borderlands games, the style, the writing, the comedy is just all so good.
And it's become such a successful series. Like, it started with Borderlands 1, then they went with Borderlands 2, which just expanded on that world and introduced even more great characters. The prequel I also found quite enjoyable and a little bit proud because it was... developed and produced by an Australian group.
Yeah. And then you had Tales of the Borderlands done by Telltale.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Telltale. The only thing I'm disappointed about with Borderlands 3 is that it's not the same voice actor for Claptrap.
That is a little bit sad, yes.
And you can tell, listening to the trailer, that it's not the same person. And that makes me sad. Yeah, but he still seems nice and sassy.
No, not really. I know that a lot of people are looking forward to the new Modern Warfare. Some people are, some people aren't. I think a lot of people are disappointed after the last release. But, yeah. I'm more looking forward to other non-first-person shooter-related games.
Apparently Dying Light 2 is coming out.
Oh, really? I do own number one. I've never played it.
It's good. Now, that's a good story-driven first-person shooter, I reckon. It's Dying Light.
Might have to give it a go.
Well, yeah, it's just waiting to see what gets announced in the future. What becomes of the games we're currently playing?
Mm-hmm.
What's next announced with Siege, which should be soon, actually.
Yes, this is true. Another question that just occurred to me. How do you prefer to play shooters? Are you a PC master race, or do you prefer the console?
I prefer PC. Yeah.
And what is it about? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I started on console, obviously, with GoldenEye on 64, up to Call of Duty on PlayStation, and then once I got a PC and realized it was much better than PC.
Because I've played Siege on PC, and that's where I learned how to play it, I tried to play Siege on PS4, and it is just so slow. It is. I didn't realize that, like, movement and stuff, like the just the difference in movement and quality between PC and console. I didn't think it was going to be that dramatic, but it's really noticeable. Like, even with my sensitivity turned up like 100% on the console for when I'm turning, it's still not fast enough. I'm not like, PC Master Race. Like, I understand that people prefer console gaming, you know, and I'm not going to hold that against them. But going from PC trying to play on console is just such a difference. It's crazy.
Especially with first-person shooters where precision in your aiming is paramount to winning the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I tend to play almost exclusively on PC anyway, but one thing I will say is I have a lot of respect for people that play exceptional games on console, because I don't know how they do it. I do not know how they do it. Definitely. I don't know how they aim. I don't know how they deal with that reaction time. But, yeah.
Well, especially getting, like, talking back, like, professional, Call of Duty is based only on consoles in its professional leagues. Halo is another one. Gears of War. But there's a lot of esports around console gaming, which is great. But then, like, it'd be interesting to see then them go to PC and how that stands up, like you see CSGO and things like that. Because, yeah, like, playing on a controller is not easy. And, like, it's so limiting in its own right as well.
Yeah. And both have their pros and cons, but, you know, I think the difference is that, like, what I've found with a lot of console FPS is that you can't customize your keybinds. Like, you can't change your controls. No. And that drives me insane, because I have a very unusual, I wouldn't say unusual play style, but I play inverted. Everyone thinks I'm weird because I play inverted. I'm going to blame Nintendo 64 for that. I think I was trying to play What was I trying to play? I think I was trying to play Black Ops 3 on PlayStation, and I wanted to put certain buttons in certain locations, and I couldn't. Everything was preset. And for me, it was just frustrating because obviously on PC, you can pretty much keybind whatever the crap you want. Console, it's usually quite limiting, which bothered me quite a bit. And I'm like, well, I probably can't play this as good as I think I can because I can't change my keybindings.
That's actually something that I'm surprised hasn't become more prevalent, which is being able to customize your keybinds on console. Because even now, it's still very, like, you got your five or six presets, and then that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's just nice to be able to have that ability to customize your controller layout to something that's logical and works for you. It doesn't make any sense to me to be so restrictive and be like, oh, well, this is what everybody else uses, therefore use this. Not to mention, like, accessibility limitations as well. If people can't use a controller in the way that everybody else does, being able to change the key bindings for accessibility purposes would be awesome as well.
Definitely.
Absolutely. And in the little conversations that we've been having, I've come up with a whole bunch more episode ideas that we can potentially cover in the future.
Yes.
Well, then in that case, that's probably all we've got time for this episode. So could each of you let our listeners know where they can find you and any projects that they've got coming up or just what they can expect to encounter should they stumble across your streams? Normie, if you could go first.
All right. Well, my name is Mr. Normie, and you can find me basically anywhere as Mr. Normie. In terms of coming up, I don't have a whole lot planned. I've got some Lego ideas running around in my head of doing a Lego building stream.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
And possibly starting up some more VR streams because I got my other computer finally built.
Oh, nice.
Other than that, just same stuff, different day, really.
And Cinebay, where can everybody find you?
You can generally find me at twitch.tv/heycinebay. I don't have a schedule. I stream when I want to. I'm a rebel like that. Generally, if you find me on twitter.com/heycinebay, I will generally announce if I'm going to be streaming or not. As for projects or things that might be coming up, I am still trying to get the momentum for to do my survival Saturdays or survival Sundays, where I will just be streaming survival games. So that is a thing.
That is a thing.
Hopefully. Eventually, maybe, hopefully.
Excellent. Oh, and shameless plug. Woo-hoo. I, as well as Cinebay and possibly Vandalized, will be attending PAX Australia this year. 2019.
Yes,
indeed.
So if, depending on when this airs, we'll be hanging around there and hanging out with people. So,
yes, and you'll see me cosplaying as Gridlock from Rainbow Six Siege as well. So that is also a thing.
All right. So thank you both for joining us for another episode of Superstar Spiels. And thank you everyone for listening. If you'd like to meet more of our members or you are a streamer yourself that would like to join our community, head on over to superstarstreamers.com. We hope to catch you for the next episode. For now, this is Vandalized signing off.